The True Vine Charismatic Church International presents our weekly audio podcast with Reverend Tete Jangma. Let this message fill you with the Word of God.
And I want to take this opportunity to welcome you to the second Wednesday in this month that we have themed the Milk and Honey Conference. Tonight I'll be preaching on the topic, Victory Over Bread of Sorrows. Oh, somebody should have shouted victoriously. Somebody should have shouted in anticipation of another victory that will be re-established in your life. Receive the victory tonight by your shout and by your praise to God. I'd like for you to please stand with me in your Bibles to Psalm 127. Psalm 127, verse 2. Victory over the bread of sorrows. There's a certain bread, it creates only sorrows. But tonight you'll be freed from that bread. We have to know the nature and the characteristic of that bread and the way that the enemy uses it to attack us. So Psalm 127 verse 2. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. For so he giveth his beloved sleep. Another expression for sleep is rest. After a hard day's work, what you need is some rest and refreshing. And God is promising in this text that he giveth his beloved sleep. I want you to turn to the next person and say that after a hard day's work, you deserve a good rest. And God is bringing you to this place of rest. But let's understand what this text says. It says, it is vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late to eat the bread of sorrows. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. Our reliance on God as we work is a prerequisite for our success. Let me put it another way. Our dependence on God as we become diligent is essential for what we need in a successful life. We must work, but our work must be predicated in God. Anything short of this will lead to what the Bible calls the bread of sorrows. We are to eat the bread of his presence and not the bread of sorrows. The bread of sorrows is a figurative expression in the Hebrew, which means the bread of an anxious life, or the bread of fretting and worrying. This is a situation in life where a child of God becomes more concerned with the cares of life, cares of the world, rather than what God has for him or her. Remember the parable of the sower. In this parable, so I'm looking at Mark chapter 4. In this parable, we are told about a sower that went out to sow. And some of the seeds fell by the wayside. That is verse 4 of Mark chapter 4. And some of the seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Jesus, in interpreting in the latter part of this same chapter, said Satan came immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. So the word was sown, but it fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. The Bible is saying that the fowls of the air represents the agents of Satan. They don't allow the word to take roots, and they don't allow that word to be nurtured. They don't allow that word to produce the impact for which it was sent out. Then the Bible says, secondly, some fell on stony grounds, verse 5. Some fell on stony ground. And because the seed had not much earth, when the sun came up, it scorched them because they had no root, and they withered away. And these were the seeds that fell on stony grounds. Now, in Jesus's interpretation in verse 19 of the same chapter, he says the seeds that fell in the midst of stony grounds represents those Christians, after hearing the word, they become concerned with the cares of the world. So verse 19 says, and the cares of the world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. In other words, the expectation of God is that every word he sends out must yield a certain harvest. Every word he sends out must yield a certain result. It must show profitable results. But in these first two situations, we are told that first of all, the birds of the air, the demonic spirits, the agents of darkness, came to take it away. And secondly, we are being told that this word gets choked up because some Christians have the cares of the world, and they allow the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things to enter in, thereby choking the word of God and making the word of God unfruitful in their lives. I want to declare that your life is a fruitful soil. May your life be fertilized by the Spirit of God, that any good seed sown in your life will yield abundance of harvest in the name of Jesus Christ. So the third category of soil is in verse 8. Some fell among good soil or good ground, and they yielded 30, 60, and 100-fold. So they fell among good soil, good ground, and they yielded 30, 60, and 100-fold. And Jesus goes ahead to give the interpretation in verse 20. He says, these are the people that hear the word of God, they receive it, and bring forth much fruit. They bring forth fruit Psalm 30, Psalm 60, and Psalm 100. I want to prophesy that you belong to this category. True Vine Charismatic Church belongs to this third category. Your house is a good soil. I say your family is a good soil for God. And your life is a good soil. May the seed of the word that falls on it not be taken away by the birds of the air. May witches and wizards not take away the word. May the spirit of deception and agencies of darkness not come to touch the word. May the word be too hot for them to handle. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing into the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, and discerning of the intent and the thoughts of the heart. Can I hear a very good amen from somebody? I say, may the enemy be cursed from stealing the word in your life. From tonight, no longer shall the word of God be stolen from your life. May God open your eyes to the revelation of scripture, that the word will come to enhance your life and bring supernatural transformation therein. I also pray that regarding the second type of soil, may you not be overwhelmed by the curse of the world. The curse of the world comes like this: and what shall we eat, and what shall we wear, and the festival is around the corner, and how are we going to celebrate it, and do you have the cloth for the funeral, and on and on, and you are disturbed, and the thing is literally eating you away, and you have become more concerned about these things that occur one moment and disappear another moment, rather than things of eternal value which comes through the word of God. When your life is built on things which have no eternal value, at the end of the day you will not have any success that is long lasting, and that may transcend your generation. But when your life is built upon things that are of eternal value in the kingdom of God, then long after you have even checked out of this world, your children shall continue to enjoy the fruits of your labor. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So, as human beings, we may need accommodation at one time or the other. As human beings, we may need money for our rent, or some people may be servicing their loans, their mortgages. So they're paying monthly deductions. You know, monthly deductions are being made from their income. And we also need money for transportation, money for food. We need some good garments, good changes of garment. We need to pay school fees, buy electricity, pay the water bill and gas. But these must not be the overriding factors in our lives. If there are any considerations that we have to make it in relation to the word of God first. The Bible says, seek ye therefore the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So the word that gets choked in the Christian's life is that word that gets exposed to the cares of the world. Instead of the child of God meditating on the word that has been released or presented to you, you rather tend to be disturbed and move into realms of ungodly anxiety. And secondly, the Bible says that they allow the deceitfulness of riches. We are not supposed to be chasing after riches. Riches are supposed to be following us. catching up with us and overtaking us for good. That's why the Bible says, goodness and mercy shall follow you. Not that you'll be chasing goodness and mercies. I prophesy to you that may that scripture be real in your life. May goodness really follow you, not demons. We drive the demons away, the demons from your father's house and from your mother's background. We drive them away and we declare that goodness shall follow you all the days of your life, and may you dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Shout a big amen to God's glory. So for some people, something small that Satan dangles before them can distract them because they lack finances. A little money dangled before them that will take them away from the house of God or from focusing on the things in the house of God will just make them drift away. But that shall not be your story. Riches are deceitful. And sometimes they will make you follow them and follow. You follow the riches from here to Anya and from Anya to Kumasi, and from Kumasi somebody tells you that, oh, Afghanistan, when you go there within 2 years you'll come back and build a house. Maybe you don't know Afghanistan. So there's deceitfulness of riches. And some people throw away their values when they are making a choice of marriage. By all means, the man must have something. But the basis is that he must be a child of God who is devoted to God, loves God, serves God, and loves to be in the house of God. And applying wisdom for daily living. Somebody say amen. Your criterion must not be that he has money and you are looking for a man that has money. Now, you may have a man who is wealthy, but he doesn't respect you. A man who has riches, but will not make you feel a part of his household. And therefore you may have been deceived and you will regret it. And the Bible says that they also chase the lust after other things. So there are, apart from monies, they allow other things to disturb them. So eventually the word is choked in their lives and they become unfruitful. Today I speak out in the realms of the supernatural. And I declare that anything that is choking your word, may it be choked out by itself. Anything that is compromising your harvest, may it be cursed and destroyed, that your harvest shall be freed and liberated to rise, that you will see a 30-fold, you will see a 60-fold, and above all, you will see a 100-fold. In the name of Jesus, let your amen be resounding. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, talks about, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Then he goes on to say, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10, it says, some people eager for money have erred from the faith. They were so desirous for money. They want money badly. And they would do anything to get money. They don't care whether they please or displease God. They don't care whether the process is ethical or unethical. They don't care. So some people eager for money, they want to be rich so that they are also said to be walking with the Joneses. They want to be rich quick so that they can display their wealth and attract, in quotes, some respect. So they have been eager for money. Don't be eager for money. Be eager for the presence of God. Be eager for the word of God. Be eager for the truth. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They have erred. One translation says they have wandered away from the faith. And the latter part is a more serious one. They have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. There are people in jail today who were eager and followed after money. And so they got into wrong company, they were deceived. And since then, they realized that they went against the law and were jailed. There are others who have been dumped and have been unfairly treated and have been abandoned and left in the cold, and they were offended and they were also abused and they have suffered hurts. And anytime they remember how they dedicated their lives to that gentleman that they call their boyfriend, or that lady they call their girlfriend, and how he or she must have treated them, they are filled with sorrow and their eyes well up with tears and have not been able to overcome that pain. The Bible says when you follow after money and you err and wander away from the faith, you get to a place where you pierce your own soul. It's like taking an arrow and piercing yourself. You wound yourself and you start bleeding because you were in rush for ungodly gain. You were in a hurry to make money. All these things that we are hearing recently about young children who want to be rich quick and consulted some occultic sources to be assisted to fast track their prosperity is that they were eager for money. And because of that, they erred from the truth that they had been taught at home. And they have pierced their souls by what they were asked to bring, if that was true, by the fetish priestess, bring a sacrifice of a human being plus, was it 2,000 or 3,000 cedis, and I'll make you rich. You even need money, and somebody is asking you to go and you need money, and then you consulted the occult, and then the person says you must bring 3,000. If you have some, sow that seed to the kingdom of God and you will never lack. Then the other one had to do with bring somebody's head, a human head. What kind of thing is that? Today they have pierced their own souls. May God deliver us from the love of money. Can I hear an amen? May God deliver us that we may not follow a human being because of money. Let's follow God who has all riches, because riches of men are uncertain. The Bible says they develop wings and they fly away, and eventually they leave you with bread of sorrows. Tonight we are here for your deliverance from the bread of sorrows. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The expression bread of sorrows came as a product of the fact that people, instead of allowing faith to drive them, they have rather allowed ungodly anxiety to control them. You remember the story of King Saul? He was asked to wait when they had a battle against the Philistines, and the prophet Samuel asked him to wait for him to come and perform the sacrifice. Saul waited and waited. You see, to know how to wait on God is a blessing. Yeah. Can I hear an amen? Somebody's answer may come on Monday. Another's miracle may appear on Tuesday. Somebody else's breakthrough will manifest on Wednesday. And somebody's blessing will fall on Thursday. Another person's promotion and elevation shall be on Friday. And another person's discovery of wealth shall be Saturday. Another person's prosperity shall manifest on Sunday. So you don't compare yourself to another person. The Bible says they that compare themselves with themselves are not wise. A young minister died in the city many years ago. And at the occasion of interacting with the widow, the wife that he left behind. And in the interaction, I was wondering, this young man was very devoted. He loved God. And I'd known him when I was a teenager. When I was an adolescent and I wasn't committed to Christ, he was committed to Christ, and I used to like his humility, his sense of discipline, and his love for the word. And anytime he came, my mother and some of my siblings would gather together with him, and all the discussions were about kingdom of God. And he died young, so I contacted the wife to find out what must have happened. Then she told me that God blessed my husband, but he was not satisfied and kept comparing himself with others. He kept talking about a university degree he didn't have. He kept talking about cars that others had bought. He kept talking about huge mansions that the people he started with had, and he worried so much that the enemy struck him and he died suddenly. May that not be your testimony. What you don't have today, by the grace of God, you will have tomorrow. Can I hear an amen? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Some people worry, and when their breakthrough is not far away, they worry to the grave. But you shall be alive. You will wait no matter how God, are you getting, no matter how the miracle delays, you will wait, because it shall surely come to pass. Are you hearing me, somebody? And everybody's running in their track, and so your track is different from my track. Your destiny is different from my destiny. Your calling is different from my calling. And God may bless some people by the time they are 17, but if God has chosen to bless you, are you hearing me? When you are past 40 or 50 or 60 or 70, he has still blessed you, because the end of a matter is more important than the beginning. I don't want to be blessed when I'm 20 and poor when I'm 60. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So you need to endure, and you need to go through the challenges of life. There'll be setbacks, there'll be delays, there'll be battles to fight, but look up unto the Lord, who is your author and finisher. The one who started with you, he will go ahead with you, and his glory shall be seen. I want to hear a very big shout to the glory of God. The fact that somebody has a miracle today does not make him or her better than you. The fact that somebody, are you hearing what I'm saying? God is looking for your faithfulness in the house of God, not how much money you had. What you did with the money is what God is interested in. So don't rush for somebody to impregnate you. Don't rush to carry a baby, because in your neighborhood, everybody that turns 20 is carrying two babies. Take your time and wait patiently on the Lord, and in his own timing he will make all things beautiful in your life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying, somebody? So when you rush, then you come face to face with the bread of sorrows. So in this world we have the bread of life and we have the bread of sorrows. In the bread of life you have bread of sweetness. I tell you, a clap, because I can sense some sweetness inside me. Are you sensing a little sweetness inside? If you are sensing it, then let your shout be tumultuous. God doesn't want you to say one day that I have regretted taking this path. I have regretted marrying that man. I have regretted. Oh, come on. May God order your steps. May God guide you. May God be light to you and enlighten your path. May you have the path of the just that shine brighter and brighter unto a perfect day. Is somebody hearing me? I declare that may God's glory overshadow you at every successive stage of your journey and your walk with him. May you never lack his glory, but may the glory be abundant as he prompts you to stay in his presence and to stay in his word and to meditate on his word and to discern the timings of God and to wait without rushing ahead of time and without going ahead of God, because it's dangerous. You don't want to pierce yourself with may God deliver you from the arrows of sorrow. If I were you, I would have shouted a bigger amen, because this is a serious one. Any sorrow, any arrows of darkness with which the enemy has intended to pierce your life and to bring sorrow to you, whether it's emotional or psychological or physical or spiritual or social or whatever, or academic, whatever it is, by the power of God, we break those arrows of darkness and we declare they will miss you as their target. May God allow the arrows that they have shot against you to boomerang back to them and pierce them. I hear what I'm saying. May they be pierced with what they plan for you, and may you be delivered, that you will not go to the grave before your time, that you will spend your days in satisfaction and in fulfillment and in joy and in the peace of God and in the rest of the Most High God. For that is why Jesus went to the cross and he died on Calvary's cross. And while he was on the cross, they gave him vinegar and they gave him some bitter herbs that he might taste, that you would not have to taste that. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Jesus tasted the bitterness on Calvary's cross, that the sweetness shall flow with you. Did Jehovah tell you that I'm taking you to a land that flows with bread of sorrows? No, that is not what he said. That I'm taking you to a land that flows with milk of sorrows? No, he says I am taking you to a land that floweth with milk and honey. What do you think the honey is doing there? I was wondering why John the Baptist was eating strange things. He was eating locust. How can I eat locust and drinking wild honey? That although he was in camel's hair, there was a certain sweetness in his spirit. Are you getting
getting what I'm saying? You cannot taste the honey of God and still be bitter. May the hurt disappear from you. May the pain disappear from your emotions. May the bitterness be expunged from the records of your heart. I'm praying for deliverance for someone. I declare the pain shall be healed. The pain shall disappear. The wound shall be healed. May the wound in your heart, whether it was a wound from childhood, whether it was a wound in the adolescent stages, whether it was a wound from early adulthood, or whether it was a wound in your old age, I command you today, deliver from the pain that the enemy sought to use to destroy you. You will not be a target of the enemy. He will miss you as a target.
Oh, come on. You're not clapping. I say we have joy. Come on, clap and shout. I don't need to tell you, because this is a milk, the milk and honey conference. And I'm preaching on the subject victory over the bread of sorrows. Wherever the enemy intended to destroy you, to wound you, to injure you, to hurt you, may the power of the blood redeem you from it. Whether in the workplace, whether in the marketplace, whether in your business arena, whether in your neighborhood, whether in the realms of the supernatural, whether in your extended family, may God raise a standard against the flood of the enemy. May you not be overwhelmed by any sickness or disease. I declare that disease shall miss you. God shall reveal it to you, and the grace of prayer and intercession shall fall upon you, and you will seek the face of God and secure your victory. I declare Jesus died, that your bitterness shall disappear, that your joy. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Have you not read in the Bible that the saints of God shall march into Zion with joy and everlasting joy upon their heads? Oh, come on, put your hands together. The word of God is changing me. The word of God is stirring me. The word of God is doing something inside me. Today we banish sorrow. We banish sorrow. We banish evil. And we destroy every attack of the enemy intended to frustrate your life. Have you forgotten the scripture? Proverbs 13:12. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. But when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Hope deferred, hope delayed. Satanic interferences with your hope and expectations can create some discouragement and disappointment in you. But the Bible says, when desire cometh, there is a stage when your desire must come. Desires that have been born out of the word of God, desires that were born in the presence of God, desires that were born in the crucible of prayer. But when the desire cometh, may your desire for a new property come. May your desire for that land come. May your desire for that house come. May your desire for that marriage and excellent family materialize. May your desire that God will raise your children and help you in a godly way to establish those children, that they will turn out well. May your desire come. May your desire for capital, for business, for increased salary, may your desire come.
May your desire for restoration of your health and peace of mind, may your desire come. I see the coming of your desire. In other words, there is a fulfillment and there is a satisfaction in the name of Jesus Christ. I see the desire of True Vine Charismatic Church and all our audiences on social media and elsewhere. I see your desire coming. I call it forth, for no longer shall the promises of God be delayed in your life. May God bring speed into your life, divine acceleration. Anything of satanic slowness that the enemy wish that you will move like a lizard, or move like a tortoise, or move like a snail, I cancel that right now in the name of Jesus, and bring that under judgment and destruction. That satanic slowness, lack of progress, and lack of achievement shall be banished into the past. We terminate it from your life and expunge it out of the records of your life. From now onwards, I, as a servant of God, I prophesy to you that the anointing of God that will fall upon you shall make you like Isaiah, Elijah. You will go ahead of the chariot of Ahab. You will run faster than the chariot of Ahab. You will call Ahab and tell him, let's get out of here, for I hear the sound of abundance of rain. May the rain of God fall upon you, the rain of increase, the rain of enlargement of coast, the rain of enlargement of territory, the rain of promotion, and the rain of satisfaction. May you be satisfied. May you not grow up and look back in regret. But what you haven't been able to accomplish, the years that are ahead of you, may God bring you helpers. May God bring you support. May God bring you assistance. May God help you and help you achieve and beyond your expectation, that your end, the record that shall be written, shall be better than before. Come on, put your hands to it. Is everybody clapping? Some people are clapping jolly, jolly. I want you to clap and let yourself go in the Holy Ghost and shout, yeah! Oh, is somebody shouting? Is somebody shouting? Is somebody shouting? Is somebody shouting? In the Songs of Solomon, the Bible says honey and milk are under your tongue. Oh, you didn't hear what I said. Songs of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 11, part B, says milk and honey are under your tongue. Why do you think there's so much excitement in this room? Because milk and honey is under my tongue. And as I open my mouth, it is figurative of you flourishing. You will flourish. You will flourish beyond comprehension. You will flourish. It will be the imagination of your peers, your generation. You become a legend by the grace of God. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? Tell the next person, milk and honey are under your tongue. Now, this Songs of Solomon was written on relationship basis. So God is telling the husbands, milk and honey is under your tongue. And he's also telling the wives, milk and honey is under your tongue. And that if you are relating to the spouse, your spouse, you don't relate to your spouse with Abunua and Alasa. Oh, you are not getting what I'm saying.
Because if you allow lemon to be in your mouth, your words will not heal. Your words will not encourage. Your words will not motivate. Your words will not draw people to the kingdom of God. Your words will not build up. But may your words build up your family. Oh, turn to another and say, milk and honey are in your mouth. But then you're down, I go monarch, milk and honey, you're down. Sickly tell you're down. Oh, how many are enjoying the milk and honey conference? I like this scripture. That is in Proverbs 25:16. He said, "Has thou found honey?" Proverbs 25:16. "Has thou found honey? Eat so much as you please." Have you found honey? Oh, I have found it. It's in the house of God. There's some honey in your house. The Bible says, "When you get it, eat as much as you please." Oh, somebody is not saying amen. Eat it, because prophetically is standing for some fulfillment and prosperity and blessings that will manifest in your life. So these elements are points of contact. God says, eat of it. In Ezekiel 3:3, Ezekiel 3:3 says, "Son of man, feed your belly with the scroll that I give you," that is the word of God, "and fill your stomach with it. Then I ate it, and it was in my mouth as sweet as honey." When you take the word and meditate on it and let it stay in you, you will have eternal joy. There may be situations that may challenge you, but you will always ride above it. That situation may be bitter, but you will end up with joy. Oh, somebody say amen. The situation may be intended to keep you under, but you will rise above only. The situation may be intended to make you the tail, but there's prophecy over your head that you are the head and you shall not be the tail. So sweetness is coming to the house of God. Sweetness is coming to your home. Sweetness is coming into your life. I release sweetness in your vocation, that you would do the work of God and enjoy it, not grumble. Oh, somebody keep clapping, church. I say, keep clapping, keep clapping, keep clapping, keep clapping, keep clapping. Proverbs 24:13 says, "Son, eat thou honey because it is good." Eat thou honey because it is good. Tonight, we are taking the milk as well. Milk is very basic to life. By the time a child is a few minutes old, the first thing that is served the child is milk. I told you that when you have a cattle ranch and you decide to sell the flesh, it means you kill all your animals. But when you decide to milk them, you will keep selling it. And if they survive for the next 20 years, they will still be producing. May your wealth be like the milk of the shepherd. Can I hear an amen? Milk will flow. Milk will flow. Honey will flow. Sweetness will flow. Strength will flow. Divine enablement will flow. Satisfaction will flow. Fulfillment will flow. Oh, church, are you ready? You want to taste honey? Are you ready? You want to taste milk? Are you ready that you are following the scripture that say that I take you into a land that floweth with milk and honey? And before they enter the land, spies were sent to bring of the fruit, some fruits from the land, and they brought some grapes, so they had a foretaste of it. Today, you are having a foretaste of the miracle.
And by this act, you are entering your heritage. You are entering your destiny. Coronavirus may have brought in its wake a lot of pain, but receive extraordinary, abundant joy and fulfillment and satisfaction and breakthrough and blessings and profiting and increase and enlargement of cost and elevation. Receive satisfaction.
I bless these elements. Oh, somebody give another high five. Don't touch them. Tell them milk and honey conference. Milk and honey conference. Last week after we left here, there was some leftover honey and milk with me after we had taken it in church. When I went back before I slept, I said, Lord, this is a double portion. I took one and I squeezed it. I squeezed it to the last atom. That night, some sweetness be that characterized my life. I woke up the following day and I saw some text messages of some sweetness of what God was. May you find some text messages, some alerts from your bank, from mobile money credit. Not small. In the name of Jesus, may your phone ring, cring, cring. Are you hearing me, somebody? May there be addition. May somebody say that I have bought goods for you and I'm shipping them to you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? May they call you and say the land is registered. May you receive your next pay packet with some fringe benefits in addition to the packet. Sweetness. Sweetness. Your children will not be a headache to you. Their presence shall be sweetened. Brother, receive your sweetness, double portion. I bless this element. Honey and the milk, I call for that as we partake of it and go to the Lord's table, the anointing of God shall overshadow us. And from now onwards, prophetically, 2019, we came around and had the milk and honey conference. When I look in the lives of those people today, they are the people who are testifying. We did it toward the close of the year. When the year started, there were various activities, but I received my sweetness. Oh, can I hear an amen? Can I hear an amen? Can I hear an amen? I can look back at last year and say it wasn't sweet. It was sweet, Papa. Tell somebody this year shall be sweet, Pa. Let your power be extended. This year shall be sweet, Pa. When we're children, we try to outdo each other by either singing, and when we ended, we extended it. Now you are sitting and watching me, and me, I want mine to extend. Pa, I say, may the sweetness and the flow of the milk that will characterize your life flow, pa, in plenty, pa.